Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Billy Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com for your listening pleasure. Now, I'm going to get through this article. I mentioned it in the previous hour with Dr. Rima Labor. Child tooth decay soars as kids have to share toothbrushes. And, you know, this headline just stuck out at me. Oh, okay, where's the chance to advertise fluoride? You know, that's just how cynical my mind works, you know. And but sure enough, you know, of course, considering I know that New Zealand has a little mandatory fluoridation by stealth little shtick that they're still going to continue to work on, even though we've had a change of government, the exact same policies are going to be implemented anyway, and the exact same foreseen propaganda campaigns by the mainstream media are also coming in just to facilitate it, as predicted. You know, like, you didn't see it coming at all, ladies and gentlemen, did you? You know? What? Oh, who was I talking to? Somebody in Ireland today about how Brexit's kind of like BS, you know? And I was like, well, what did you expect, bro? These globalists who secretly took control of everything by force and assassination and bribery and scumbaggery are just going to, like, you know, give all your freedom back to you? Because you asked for it. you just said you really don't want to be slaves. It doesn't quite work like that. Tooth decay soars as kids have to share toothbrushes. It's just like this weird headline. It's like, what are you talking about, kids sharing toothbrushes? It's not something like a reality that you do. You know, even in Iraq, they didn't resort to that. All right. Even Saddam Hussein came out on national television and said, hey, look, if you've got crap teeth, use your finger. You know, just rub your teeth very, very quick. And it was actually quite effective because all the roughings on your finger prints and all of that kind of stuff are actually pretty effective at cleaning away tooth decay. And your teeth are angled as such where your fingers can actually get at them, interestingly enough. But anyway, we resort to an entire family sharing toothbrushes, right? And, of course, there's no source to confirm that. Now, they go on about this thing with dental health, and it reads off some statistics for you. In 2016, there were 43,172 child hospitalizations for poverty-related New Zealand diseases in New Zealand. Now, so that's right after the entire foray of Prime Minister John Key, foreign banker, who got us $100 billion in debt, up from $8 billion in debt. And that's the only on the books, which they cook, debt clock that New Zealand has, right? That's after that. Okay, this is all just coincidence, ladies and gentlemen. You know, there's no connections, there's no context or anything that perhaps somebody who's, I don't know, a journalist could provide for you from some kind of publication that's about news, etc. Who could provide this context? Not the mainstream media. It has to be this random guy on American Freedom Radio, because no New Zealand radio station has the balls to give him a show. Of that, 7,727 hospitalizations were for children with issues like rotting or decayed teeth. I wonder why that is. Maybe because they sit around watching television all the day, which give them about 10,000 sugary drink, fatty food, fast food, infomercials. Like, what did I say? Infomercials? Man, I haven't watched TV in a long time. Telling them to suck all this stuff down. I mean, I assume that's what's still going on. You know, I haven't done any research. It's like, hey, mate, you only advertise the really stuffed, crap stuff that's going to screw with the kids' teeth and whatnot. And you get surprised when the kids wind up with really, really crap teeth. And you make the tap water in the city so crappy and so horrible in its taste that you don't want to drink it anyway, and you'd be glad to have some poison that's got salt in it and a shockingly large quantity of sugar that you could never possibly freaking want to drink the tap water, you know. because it's got fluoride in it anyway, and you wouldn't want to. But even though that's the case, the Coke is still watered down with municipal fluoridated water anyway. So did they get you either way? Dental hospitalization for children usually means general anesthetic and tooth extraction. I wonder as well about the what this does to the body, because I remember my wife, she had a lot of what did she wake up? I think she couldn't breathe after going under anesthetic, but that was for her whole body. I'm not sure if there's any bad side effects or something like that in the mouth. I actually haven't researched into that whatsoever, but basically, if it's mainstream medicine, mainstream media, mainstream politics, mainstream frickin' anything, it's probably not that good, you know, just straight from an outset. And then you look at the evidence to see, is there actually no scumbaggery to be detected? Is there actually no ill health effects from their common practice that they give to children? You know, you would assume that it would be terrible and horrible and evil and implementation and try to cover up all its faults and that kind of thing. But, you know, you never know. You never know. People surprise you. And the number of hospitalizations for dental conditions from 0 to 4 years old has been increasing over that time, just as the poverty has been increasing over that time, as the globalists have been extracting all the resources, and now people can't afford basic things like nutritious food and have to have high sugar diets and things of that nature. Numbers have increased severely, especially in hospitalizations of children under 5 years old, and rising from 2,170 hospitalizations in 2002 to 3,050 hospitalizations in 2016, at a time when, of course, New Zealand had an enormous record influx of immigrants in order to keep the stock market here afloat by having everybody's net wealth come over here. You know, that's one way to hide the fact that you're getting the country massively into debt and selling out all its assets to foreigners and undermining every single person's sovereignty, regardless of the race or the sex that they belong to. You know, in 2016, those from the poorest households were twice as likely to be hospitalized for dental diseases as children from the richest households. Oh, you mean like people who are rich and powerful and stuff like that, know how to take care of themselves and actually have the resources to take care of themselves before problems get actually really bad? You know, dentists say tooth decay is a wicked problem caused by sugar intake, self-care, and fluoridation policy. Now, they also tack the fluoridation policy on at the end there. As I mentioned before when I started reading this out, is that of course they're going to start pumping out the fluoridation policy, right? Data was provided under the Official Information Act by the Ministry of Health to the New Zealand Herald. But of course they don't talk about the, oh, in fact, I'm not even allowed to talk about it, am I? Oh, wait, no. That's right. I'm not a member of the Dental Association, so I can tell you this. It's an interesting distinction, isn't it, when I tell you this, is that the Dental Association statistics have found that fluoride not only doesn't help teeth, it actually harms them. Okay? There. I said it. If I was a qualified dentist, I could lose my license for saying what is actually inside the Ministry of Health's dental statistics, as was threatened to the dentist who told me this, who we made a video about and made public, and got like 6,000 views before we had to immediately take it down and edit that 3 to 4 minute section of that video out of it so he could keep his dental license. That's a scary fact about in New Zealand, ladies and gentlemen, that you might not be privy to, because if you're watching just mainstream media or overseas media for that matter, man, am I getting a bit angsty today? I think it's because I was very sleepy. I was very tired. Yeah, too much work yesterday. Hospital admissions for dental diseases have jumped, especially in poor families. Toddlers as young as 2 years old are suffering tooth decay so severe all their teeth have to be removed, as child hospitalizations for dental disease soar. Now, that's baby bottle tooth decay. Okay, I think I explained this on another show, right this. If you're an idiot, you will fill your baby's bottle up with Coca-Cola. If you're an idiot. And they will suck on it all day long, constantly exposing their little baby teeth to sugary stuff, which will rot them to the bone, right down to the nub. And you know what's going to happen with those pictures of those children with those teeth that are whittled down to the nub and all brown and gross and whatnot? They're going to tout them on the news. As this is what happens when you don't have fluoride, when it's baby bottle tooth decay. And there's a classic old school symptom, man. They're doing it all the time. Every single time there's some kind of fluoridation push or defense of fluoride or anything to do with fluoride or whatever, they virtually can't help putting in that baby bottle tooth decay picture. It's just annoying. Health data shows the number of children admitted for dental treatment in hospital jumped from an annual 4,500 to 7,500 in the past 15 years. Oh, you mean an increase in population and an increase in poverty correlates with an increase in people actually going to hospital for stuff? Oh my God, it's just inexplicable. Worst affected are children of the poorest families whose dental stays struggle to afford toothpaste and sometimes resort to sharing one toothbrush among an entire family. Because toothpaste, what's that, like $2 a tube, lasts for about a month. You know, I can see how people wouldn't be able to afford that. Actually, I can. Now that I think about it, stuff's real tough down there, man. It's like the Flintstones. And not in that way you're thinking. It's in the way that the background, when the Flintstones are traveling along in their car, repeats and repeats and repeats. You see the same house going behind them again and again and again. When you rolling through certain suburbs in South Auckland, liquor store, liquor store, liquor store, pawn shop, fast food restaurant, loan shark, fast food restaurant, liquor store, right? Right? It's horrific. Specifically targeting these poorer communities and specifically trying to destroy them. That's what I reckon is going on. But that's just because I know what I'm talking about. Those families also rely more heavily on cheaper, high-sugar foods and are less likely to seek early treatment, often because of a lack of transport time and transport or time, and may live in non-fluoridated areas. I love it how they tack that on there, and may live in non-fluoridated areas. All factors can lead to huge levels of decay, dentists say. Yeah, because living in a non-fluoridated area can lead to huge levels of decay. I love it how they tack it on right at the end, because that's the last thing your brain actually frickin' remembers when you go through it. Oh, the fluoride's the problem. We need mandatory fluoride for everyone to make sure those children living in poverty get disproportional bone diseases and cancer growth and things of that nature almost twice to three times as much as the white kids. You know, that's what that fluoridation is for. It's not like any racist genocide agenda or anything, you know? We're just looking after the poor kids and stuff like that because, you know, that's just the right thing to do. I mean, we're a government. We don't have any track record of doing anything but the right thing to do. It's not like we're completely financed by billionaire criminals and scumbaggery the whole entire time and do nothing else. But, I mean, you're a conspiracy theorist. And it's more likely those are the kids we're seeing in hospital. AS said some of the children would be counted twice in the statistics, for example, those seen at age 2 and then again at age 4, but dentists aimed only to put them under general anesthetic once if they could help it. I wonder why that is. Is anesthetic really that bad for you? That'd be something to Google. What are the side effects of anesthetic? It starts with anus, so it can't be that good for you. It's heartbreaking, and parents feel terrible. They feel upset and guilty because they've had their country systematically sold out from underneath them, had their rights systematically annihilated, and now they're suffering the effect of being a slave. Okay? Are slaves healthy, happy, free? No? Oh, well, the statistics reflect it, don't they? I try to relieve their guilt as lots of the factors are beyond their control. Yes, they are. But you're not going to actually understand or try to explain what these factors are you? Well, they may not have understood the issue. We work on prevention, she said. Yeah, prevention, like fluoridation, which now dentists are saying we actually make more money, shall we say, treating dental fluorosis, which is white mottling and chipping of the teeth, than we do from treating tooth decay. Isn't that interesting how this article, I wonder if it's going to actually mention dental fluorosis in the midst of it promoting fluoride. No, no, didn't think so. Sometimes two health providers also supplied toothbrushes and paste. So health providers can provide toothbrushes and paste. And meanwhile, you know, you've got families out there who are saying that they can't afford. Oh, no, you've got some dentists claiming that some families are sharing around toothbrushes and and can't afford toothpaste and so on and so forth. You know, you can't have it both ways. And that was another thing that I was starting to think about earlier today, is about how you just can't have it both ways, bro. And what's interesting is that looking at the statistics, they're just going up and up and up and up and up. Right? That's pretty much it. Now, in Scotland, the Child Smile program, they did this radical thing called educating people about tooth decay. You know, educating children, educating their parents about healthy food and drinks, having supervised brushing, having mandatory dental screening. And surprisingly, instead of fluoridating the water, which does, according to statistics, nothing significant, to report enough anyway, all of the statistics that have been measured about child health and child dental health specifically, started going in the right direction. Right down. Right down past New Zealand's records, actually. And I think that was quite embarrassing because around about the same time that news was coming out, I think our chief scientific advisor to New Zealand's council, Mr. Peter Gluckman, Gluck, man. It's just, there's a something rhymes with Gluck, man, that you just, you get the idea. Anyway, he came out with this report saying that fluoride's safe and effective, you know. And what was it? It was a summary of an enormous study that said that not only is fluoride not safe, not effective, it's actually incredibly dangerous and carcinogenic, but it also reduces your IQ. And of course, Gluckman, when he glosses over this, goes, it's not statistically significant. And the world's freaking scientific community just come out literally laughing at this guy. you know, like he's making our whole country look like idiots for having this guy as our chief scientific advisor. So he goes, oh, okay, I'll change it in the thing. And then he doesn't actually really change the wording of it. Oh, it's not statistically significant. The lowers in IQ, that kind of thing. Just completely the most disingenuous reporting you could ever conceive of. All right? Seriously. There are people out there who have had 9 kids who couldn't conceive of this. You know, like the data supplied by the Ministry of Health was a subset of the 40,000 child hospitalizations each year that are related to poverty. Previously, the Herald has reported on subsets linked to poor housing and poor food. The Ministry does not record data by socioeconomic status, but the Herald was able to analyze it according to the Children's Access Address data. Now, interestingly, also enough, considering all those things are linked to food, we recently had a GST increase, which means the tax on our food, which is illegal in England, by the way, is now being increased. So it makes all people's food more expensive. I'm sure that'll really help poverty, you know, and the people who have to get the basics of life. Analysis found admission rates were higher for preschool children with 13 in 1,000 hospitalized for dental caries, tooth decay, or pulp nerve decay last year. There was also some false statistics on those, and that was known as pulp fiction. Among 5 to 14-year-olds, 9 in 100 were hospitalized last year. Admission to hospitals was usually only required when a child needed surgery under general anesthetic, who recently got a commendation and a Medal of Valor, but not always for tooth extraction. Children from the most deprived areas were more than twice as likely as those from the least deprived to need to go to hospital. That gap was growing, as was the, as was the one with Steve Irwin. You know, his gap was growing before he got stabbed in the heart by a stingray. He always had a special heart in this place for stingrays, old Steve. As admissions increased 10%, that was a really bad joke, Vinny. Well, at least it's making fun of Australians, not New Zealanders. Has increased 10% in the past 10 years among preschoolers from the poorest families. Dental hospitalization rate and children deprivation over time shows that basically it's all just going in an upward trend in the wrong direction. Now, Professor of Dental Epidemiology and also an incredible dance floor DJ, and public health Murray Thompson from the University of Otago. He's into epidemiology. He's into electronica dance music. You know, this guy's the kind of lecturer for you. I'm just making all that up, by the way, for those of you who are accidentally taking it seriously or deliberately taking it seriously. I don't care what your excuse is. I certainly don't have any. Linked that to increasingly inequality, particularly during the last national government, which took a toll on those at the bottom. So they are actually taking into account, near the bottom of the article, where half the readers would have switched off by now. Thompson said early childhood tooth decay was well known as one of the most sensitive markers of economic stress on households. It's easy to blame parents and say they should brush their children's teeth, but this is the precariat. They live hand to mouth. They're living in food deserts without fruit and vegetables and with lots of takeaways where fizzy drink is cheaper than milk, he said. Much of that is outside what dentists can do in a clinical setting, but if you improve those people's lives, those rates would come down very quickly. Oh, what a surprise. You destroy the economy and it has an onflow effect on the most vulnerable in society. Again, I didn't see that one coming. The Ministry of Health said the numbers of children being hospitalised for dental treatment had risen internationally, although overall dental health among children in New Zealand was improving. Oh, really? Reasons for the increased hospitalisations were many and varied, but they included the reorientation of the Community Oral Health Service, including $160 million in capital funding and $32 million operational funding each year to emphasise early engagement with preschool children. The Ministry expected numbers to climb before they improved. Now, I do understand as well that they might, you know, be working on something, and maybe this is part of a conversation I had earlier in the week with somebody about, you know, what solutions have you got, Vinny? What solutions have you got, Vinny? I'm not here to tell you the solutions, all right? I mean, if you want a solutions, go to a church. Go to some guru, go to something. I'm just telling you about the stuff that's messed up, right? So that it doesn't just hit you by surprise. You're the ones who are supposed to be doing something about it. I'm the one who's supposed to be laughing about it and taking it less seriously so that it doesn't paralyze you with fear when you hear about it, all right? So that you're free to do something about it, as mentioned previously. Got to take responsibility. And rather than allow other people to propose the solutions for you, maybe you should put your brains into gear, ladies and gentlemen, and find something that works. You know, get on the A-band wagon if you choose, but I would recommend most people just think for yourself, do your own thing in your own way. And in my experience, a lot of the activists who do that, who are self-propelled, as it were, they tend to have the lasting impression. They tend to go the distance. The people who are in it to, like, you know, solve everybody's problems overnight. They're here today, gone tomorrow. Overnight, as it were. Neither the government nor the health boards had analysis by deprivation. The last time the data was collected at a socioeconomic level was in 2009. Instead, it arranged the data by ethnicity, with Māori and Pacific Island children also having higher rates of decay. Interestingly enough, that fluoride affects them worse than it does the white kids. You know? Just repeat after me. There is no racist agenda against non-white people. Okay? No racist agenda whatsoever. The new health minister, David Clark, did not answer questions about the statistics. And another thing, what were they talking about? Everybody talks about social justice warriors or Antifa or something like that. I've completely missed that phenomenon. Like, because it doesn't matter and I don't care. Right? It doesn't matter and I don't care. All right? In that order. If I find out that it doesn't matter, I don't care. The previous government had also introduced a target of reducing dental hospitalizations by 25% by 2021, but it was unclear if it would remain. National's health spokesman, Jonathan Coleman. Oh, Coleman. This is the guy who's pushing the mandatory fluoridation for everything, because I think a couple took it to court or whatever. it might be a war crime or Geneva Convention violation or something like that, saying that you can't dump toxic waste into the drinking water and give people medication without their consent and knowledge, etc. You know, they go to a judge and say that. The judge goes, yeah, no, it's not illegal. No, I'll just make a ruling that it's not illegal. Hey, Jonathan Coleman, Minister of Health, yeah? Why don't we just put fluoride outside of the medicines bill so that if somebody does sue us for forced medicating them because fluoridation is no longer legally classified as a medication under New Zealand law specifically, they won't be able to sue us under New Zealand law for forced medicating them, and therefore we won't be violating international law by force medicating them. All right, why don't you just go do that, bro? Jonathan Coleman goes, yeah, I think it's a brilliant move. I think we'll have to propagandize the public and fuck like first. Like, you know, like, bro, why would we do this by halves? Before you know it, all these people start coming out of the woodwork and the cockroach brigade. Ugh. Just kill me now. Jonathan Coleman said hospitalizations had increased because more children were being reached because of more funding in the community oral health service. They destroy society, causing the problem, and because they then increase a minimal amount of funding into the oral health care service, they say we're doing really good because we're treating more disease. I love the double thing. Weekend clinics help numb the shock of tooth removal. When Laura Gray's husband called from the dentist's office to say their 8-year-old needed a tooth removed, it was a, quote, huge shock. The Manurewa mum of two doesn't allow fizzy drink in the house, and after growing up with bad teeth herself, had been making sure her boys brushed every day. It was very upsetting, she said. My husband was very nervous about it, but I said we had to do it because he'll be in pain. Tristan, her son, had the extraction done at the Browns Road Dental Clinic under local anesthesia and has been going back for regular checkups since, alongside his brother Cody, 10. Now, that's opposed to the international anaesthetic. We have the local one here in New Zealand. The clinic was part of a trial in Manurewa where the Auckland Regional Dental Service introduced weekly Saturday clinics after discovering many families found it hard to attend weekday appointments, largely because of time and transport issues. You know, it's like, hey, let's just give you a weekday appointment so that, you know, your job that pays you bugger all, you'll have to leave that for several hours, you know, just to take your kid to go to the dentist, bro, you know. Oh, no, sorry, that's the only time we can have it fit you in. No. Are they targeting these people? Aren't they trying to destroy and make their lives harder? Gray was one of those, saying she struggled to take the boys out of school for appointments, but the weekend made it easy and convenient, especially when the children required repeat visits, as Tristan did. It means we don't have to worry and when we can take him back when he needs another filling. The dentals services says to help more families, planning was now underway to extend Saturday clinics to Otara, Puhinui, Mangere, Kingsland and Glen Innes. The government also committed $2.5 million a year over 4 years to oral health promotion. $2.5 million over 4 years, per year over 4 years. What's that, $10 million? What's $10 million worth of dentistry give you? I don't know. I could probably get my teeth fixed. And guess what? There's nothing wrong with them. Sounds like too little, too late. Maybe. Maybe I'm being a bit harsh. But that's the idea. The promotion to improve oral health of young children. It includes a social marketing campaign and television commercial. Toothbrushes and fluoride toothpaste will be distributed to families next year. Fluoride toothpaste. Yep, see, there you go. And the kids also swallow it. And again, notice for the fourth time, in one article, they leave the mention of fluoride right to the very end of the sentence, right? It's the last thing you think about, okay? Isn't that interesting how that works? Moving on to another article now. one close to my heart. Medicinal cannabis users frantic after New Zealand Post dobbs in prominent supplier. Good on you, New Zealand Post. You know, all of those suffering cancer patients and people with multiple sclerosis who can't get to the kitchen without pain now to make a cup of tea because of you and busting their suppliers. Just give them a golf clap, bro. Like, what is up with these people?
Oh, there's people who are like healing themselves. I can't allow that to happen. Not on my watch. I'm a postie. I've got authority that I must exert.
No, you don't have a jurisdiction. You're a lifeguard, all right? It's a Baywatch reference. Maybe that's a bad thing to make on this show. But anyway, I wanted to see if I can actually play this audio for you nicely, ladies and gentlemen. No. I definitely can't, can I? Anyway, hundreds of patients are searching for a new source of medicine after New Zealand Post reported their dealer to police. Medicinal cannabis patients are now running low on supplies after a prominent dealer was arrested for sending drugs through the post. Now, what's interesting is that there is a countrywide, according to my sources anyway, dope drought right now.
Nobody can find anything.
Quote, "We're trying to find medicine so that we can survive," said Joan Cowie, a 64-year-old Aucklander who has stage 4 lung cancer. I just sent her a Facebook friend request between the show. Hopefully we'll be able to get her on the broadcast, as we have done with a number of medical patients over the years for this show, because frankly, you know, the media won't really get these people on and give them their due. Like, think about it. This there's a video at the top of this article, right, that's maybe 2 minutes and 22 seconds. All right. Vinny East would give him 55 minutes. Okay. And they'd actually get to speak. That's the value of the Vinny Eastwood show, for New Zealanders who are, you know, suffering from various afflictions, whether they be government afflictions, cannabis afflictions, health and whatever. And it doesn't matter really if I do something that you don't like or say something you don't like, because it ain't, despite the fact that it's called the Vinny Eastwood show, really not so much me as it is so much about the guests and the struggles that they're going through. Right, I don't go so much out to all of these big politicians and corporate heads and try and get in their face and megaphone them and try to be a dick and start some shit. Why? Because then I may become a targeted individual. And I know what happens to targeted individuals. They are no longer able to help other targeted individuals because, you guessed it, they've now become targeted individuals. The 55-year-old West Coast grower was arrested in October after posties noticed the smell of cannabis coming from parcels and reported him to the police. He was since appeared in the Greymouth District Court on a range of charges, including cultivating cannabis that you can go to jail for, selling or supplying cannabis oil, which you can go to jail for, producing, manufacturing and distributing cannabis, which you can go to jail for, procuring and possessing cannabis plants, which you can go to jail for, and possession of cannabis oil for supply, which you can go to jail for. What you can't go to jail for is just smoking cannabis and just possessing cannabis. So they've got an X amount of bazillion charges or whatever that they trump up on anybody who's caught with stuff or whatever, so that they can quite likely get you sent to jail, usually for a first offense. All right. And when Jacinda Ardern, the Prime Minister of New Zealand, came out and says, "Oh, I don't want people going to jail for smoking cannabis," she already knew that people ain't going to jail for smoking cannabis. They're going to jail for these trumped up charges: cultivating, supplying, producing, procuring, possession. You know, for supply, that kind of thing. And it just seems very disingenuous to me. And I see on the screens in front of me, you know, the faces of people that are sick, dying, who are good people, right? And they don't deserve what is happening to them because it's just not fair. Pearl Schomburg, founder of the Auckland's patients group. Oh, I actually spoke to Pearl when we went to the medical cannabis march not too long ago as well. I think I'll probably get her on the show too. Which supports those using medicinal cannabis, said the man's arrest had left hundreds of users in the lurch. Hundreds. One person growing enough plants and manufacturing enough stuff to help hundreds of people with their conditions, folks. Good on you, New Zealand Posties. Golf clap too. Doesn't it sound like a flaccid penis against the thigh? A little bit. Schomburg said she was one of the only cannabis growers in New Zealand who specialised in plants that were low in THC, tetrahydrocannabinol, and high in CBD, cannabidiol. THC is the compound within cannabis that makes people high, whereas CBD does not produce any psychoactive effects. And you'll notice, ladies and gentlemen, that in the law system, you've got a lot of active psychos trying to ban those psychoactives. There are very few people that are interested in growing this strain because it's low THC, said Schomburg. This is a man who took a risk planting and growing these plants when no one else was interested. Schomburg said low THC cannabis products were particularly helpful for medical users, as it meant they could remain, quote, functioning during the daytime without getting high. But the thing is, when you get high all day, every day, I can only assume, you know, I don't have experience in these areas, it becomes your new normal. You know, you just learn to do everything you do just as well. You just realize, as Bill Hicks said, that occasionally it's not worth the effort. You know, like going to a job that doesn't inspire you. That's dealing with stuff that you really shouldn't. Schomburg said low THC. Sorry, already read that part. The 64-year-old great-grandmother who suffers from chronic pain due to RSI and rheumatoid arthritis added she had found the man's arrest particularly stressful, as one of the packages intercepted by New Zealand Post had been addressed to her. Quote, my stress levels have gone through the roof and I wake up most nights and vomit, she said. There you go. Good on you, New Zealand Post. Bet you're real proud of yourselves, aren't you? Doing your part for society, eh? Making old ladies wake up in the middle of the night and vomit, eh? Congratulations. You're just some champion fucking cunts, aren't you? You know, like, bro, the kind of sick mentality, you know, that anybody would have to say, hey, here's a whole bunch of real sick dying people. Let's make them sicker and die faster. What could possibly go wrong? I'm laughing to hide real pain. The new New Zealand Labour, New Zealand First and Greens government has promised a referendum on cannabis use by 2020, but the media are no longer repeating the phrase medical cannabis legal in the first 100 days. All right, saw one screenshot of that come up in the first day and haven't heard squat about it since. Heard plenty of talk about cannabis, but no repetition of that. It's going to be legal in 100 days stuff. Just talking about that, it's going to be possibly up for debate in 2020 when a lot of the people who need their cannabis now will be freaking dead. Moving on, police say they won't target patients, but I'm sitting here trying not to worry about that knock on the door. Both Schomburg and Cowie keep paperwork to hand, proving they are sick in case they are ever challenged for being illegal drug users. You know, you are illegal drug users because it's been classified as an illegal drug, not because it's a drug, and not because it's immoral or actually does damage. No, it's just classification, you know. Just call it something that it's not and then punish people as though it is. See, that's how legal systems work. Shane LeBrun, coordinator of the charity Medical Cannabis Awareness NZ, said arresting medicinal suppliers was counterproductive. These people will be seen as martyrs and heroes to the patient community, and unfortunately it reflects poorly on the police, he said. who are not exercising their discretion as they're enabled to do, because they get about 12 minutes of real education about cannabis. And it's lies from a guy who wrote a book about it maybe 45, 50 years ago and then spent most of the lecture, this hour-long lecture, talking about the one time that he went to Antarctica. Okay? There's a real interview with a cop, and you can have access to that interview, as well as about 150 other unlisted videos on my YouTube channel. You can have access to all of those immediately if you start up a donation or make a donation of any kind to the Vinnie Eastwood Show and email me. I'll send you the link to a playlist. All those unlisted videos, stuff that is actually too controversial to just be out there amongst the general public kind of stuff. All right? People, that's some of the scary stuff that happens when you actually interview people who are actually doing the stuff. And people go, oh, but there's good police out there. And, you know, sure, there are. But they work for the police, okay? I'm pretty sure there's good mafiosos out there too. I'm pretty sure there's really great hashishan assassins back in the day. But their job is to commit crimes and to hurt people, all right? Don't underestimate. The police's job is law enforcement. That doesn't mean they have to follow laws to enforce them, okay? They lie all the time. They hurt people all the time. And the boys who go in there, it's usually the boys who've actually had maybe a little bit of life experience or whatever, try not to do the things that they're actually ordered and shown and told and trained to do. They try not to. They try to find ways around it. And eventually they find out that there are no way around it because the only people that want to hang out with them now are other cops. And they all hang out at the police bar and drinking themselves to death because they can't stand their job and what they have to do to their fellow man for a living. The ones with a conscience anyway. Those who don't leave. They stay and get promotions and wind up going on to train the rest. Patients will continue to break the law, often with the support of their specialists, making criminals of otherwise law-abiding citizens. New Zealand Post's Mark Baker said the service worked closely with police and had a, quote, zero tolerance policy for illegal items being sent through our network. If a staff member believes that a mail item contains an illegal or dangerous substance, we encourage them to notify their manager, who will often seek guidance from our security team. Baker declined to answer direct questions about the West Coast arrest, saying New Zealand Post, quote, would not comment on police matters. Oh, isn't that convenient, bro, considering you made it a police matter and can now deflect any responsibility for the suffering and death that you're inherently responsible for and playing a part in. Again, playing the game, boys. Very, very proud of you. Do you see why I hate this country, ladies and gentlemen? Right? And I said that on the radio the other day and I corrected myself and I go, nah, I hate this government, but I'm starting to think that I hate both of them. You know, I don't know if it's a what it is to hate the place one lives, the people that live in it, and the people that run it simultaneously, to feel alone in a nation of cannabis hating scumbags, right, who run everything. That is quite depressing, you know, a little bit more than quite depressing. It gives me a feeling of despair, you know, just utter plain despair. Unbelievable. The medicinal cannabis community is planning a rally in Auckland on Saturday, the 11th of November, to show support for growers and users who have been targeted by police. The new government has promised a referendum on cannabis use by 2020. Now, it has to be said, of course, that, you know, when you're looking at these statistics and things of that nature of people getting busted for this, that, and the other, you don't actually know how many people have died to get us even to this point, right? Like, for example, we've got Helen Kelly, who's the ex-president of the Council of Trade Unions. She passed away from cancer. Right. And she was a vocal advocate of the use of cannabis based treatments. And despite her public stance on medicinal cannabis use, police never pursued any charges, right? So they decided and used discretion to not target her. Why? Because she was famous and it would have drawn heat on their departments, okay? But if somebody's nameless, faceless, and it's just a quote-unquote grower, hey, you can bust them. Doesn't matter if there's 130 patients that are now suffering on a minute-by-minute basis because you arrested one of their fairies. And that's one of the nicknames we've given to those growers who deliberately lower the THC and raise the CBD in their plants for medicinal use and grow that cannabis and get it to those people who freaking need it. That's what happens when you've got a conscience, ladies and gentlemen. You help the people who need your help, right? Now, cannabis contains numerous cannabinoids, the most well-known of which is THC, tetrahydrocannabinol, and that gets you high. But CBD, or cannabidiol, doesn't. It's recently been used by people who claimed it as anti-inflammatory, anti-pain, anti-anxiety, antipsychotic, and anti-spasm effects. And by claim, we mean they take it and they stop having that stuff immediately, right in front of you, on the camera. Somebody's uncontrollably shaking, goes completely stable in under a minute. Right? Makes you cry to see that. There was a cop, in fact, who had been arresting people all his life for cannabis. And now he'd been living for 10 years with uncontrollable muscle spasms and his hands shaking all over the place, that kind of thing. And you see him just take a little bit of this cannabis oil. He lies down on the couch, sits back up, and, oh, wow. And he just like looks at his hands. And, Jesus, man, I just burst into tears. It really gets to me. I think it's part of my trauma as well, like getting busted for cannabis so many years ago has actually like really, really messed me up. Like I can't deal with other people's pain and stories about that pain, stuff like that. In regards to cannabis without it actually getting an emotional response out of me. Like I can't just calm down and look at it objectively, because I know that there really isn't any objective viewpoint on cannabis. You either want it legal and available for everybody, or you're a scumbag. All right, it actually really is that. I mean, well, not scumbag, maybe either completely misinformed or a scumbag, you know. And it's not like, you know, you go, oh, but I decriminalize and I know it's not that really bad for you. You're completely misinformed, okay? You either want full legalization for everybody and no restrictions on it, so that's good freedom and plant, you know, together, or you don't know what you're talking about, and you should just shh. Okay, you know, anything outside of the realm of full legalization, my response is this: shh, just shh. Pharmaceutically approved pain relief is legal, but many come with side effects of their own, including addiction. Now, I love it how that kind of thing is a lot of the arguments that people use for cannabis not being over. So, oh, what about the side effects and the possible on-flow effects? And what about people who get addicted to it or whatever? And it's like, hello, you've already got stuff on the market that does that all the time. And it's killing people left, right, and center, and you're not even worried about it whatsoever. This is something that's been around for 10,000 years and hasn't killed one person, not even once, ever. And you're worried about the possible side effects, you need more research, and so on and so forth. Shut up. Again, I reiterate, shh. Jeff! I'm just so sick of the lies and the misuse, particularly the abuse of our elders. I mean, think about it. These are our elders, predominantly the ones that are suffering medical conditions that can be helped with cannabis, and we're trying to persecute them now because they're easy target. Does that not strike you as maybe one of those warning signs that your society's perhaps going a little bit down a bad frickin' path? You know, like, bro, I'm not trying to tell people how to live their life. What I am trying to do is tell people that they shouldn't be able to tell me how to live mine. Or you how to live yours. Simple as that. Don't want to be trying to get people offside each other and play sides against each other and so on and so forth. I mean, there's two sides on either spectrum. There's right and then there's wrong. All right, and I'm talking about objective right and wrong, you know, talking about actual evidence, etc. Not talking about just, oh, this is my opinion, and you've got to respect my opinion because I said it. It's like, no, I don't have to respect your opinion, and you said it, just like you don't have to respect my opinion. I mean, you could make up your opinion, right? You could. But you can't make up facts, all right? You can't just make them up. They're either there or they're not. That's the deal. And anybody who's trying to, you know, poo-poo cannabis and say it's dangerous or whatever is simply making stuff up, okay? You can tell that immediately and objectively that they're just making it up, okay? No conscience. No, nothing. Like, seriously, what is the point? I don't understand, people say. I don't understand. Why would they do this? It's because they're lying psychopaths who've got interests, conflicts of interest specifically involved in keeping cannabis illegal. All right? They need it to remain illegal. They need people to keep suffering and dying. Why? It's for a justification for a reason you don't have. All right? Scumbaggery. All right? Simple scumbaggery. It's not that difficult. Pretty straightforward. Only really cares about itself. Doesn't really care about you. Well, on that cheery note, thanks very much for listening, ladies and gentlemen. And you have yourself a fabulous day.